Welcome to our committee of the whole meeting. If I can ask John?
Trustee Bachner?
Here.
Trustee Gillis?
Here.
Vasquez?
He's gonna call in. Oh.
Trustee Brennan?
Here.
Trustee Johnson?
Here.
Trustee O'Connell?
Here.
President Medusi?
Here. So, okay, so no citizens' comments for this topic. So we'll go ahead and discuss the fiscal year 2023 operating budget. So Brian, do you want to open it up? Do you want to have Rosie?
I'd be happy to tee it up for Rosie.
Okay.
And just start off by thanking everybody for all of your involvement and participation. Rosie and Kiki and Lisa did a tremendous amount of lifting to bring this budget to you tonight. And with that, Rosie is going to make the questions at the end.
Before I start, good evening, President Medusi and Village Trustees. Thank you for the opportunity to present the fiscal year 2022-2023 annual budget. Before I begin, I just wanted to, I sent revised versions this afternoon so I could just explain to you on page 89, there was a allocation error. So bottom line numbers were correct. They just were allocated incorrectly. So the new version you have is correct with all the proper allocations. And on page 104, which is a description of the Traffic and Safety Committee budget, it originally had $100,000. It should only be $50,000. Mm-hmm. So those two corrections were corrected and in the newest version you've received. Just wanted to clarify that before we begin. Tonight, we will review the individual funds and department budgets that have been prepared for the fiscal year 2023 and beyond. Following this meeting, we will move into the regular Village Board meeting and hold the statutory required public hearing at 7 p.m. On April 25th, you will consider an ordinance approving this budget. The Village remains in a strong financial position due to the sound fiscal policies and decisions over the past several years. I want to thank the Board of Trustees for their continued support, strong leadership, and acknowledge the hard work and good stewardship of the Village's staff in maintaining our operations. Village's current budget has received the Distinguished GFOA Budget Award, and the fiscal year 2023 budget that we're presenting tonight is designed to continue receiving this prestigious award. The Village Board's goals and accomplishments are contained in the budget. These goals and each department's goals speak to the Village's three guiding principles, which are: to ensure that the Village provides a safe and welcoming community for its residents, business owners, and institutional partners. Enhance property values through strengthening quality of life, and implement strategies to stabilize property taxes. Moving on to a snapshot of the general fund, it's important to note that this is the main operating fund for the Village, and the fiscal year 2023 general fund budget is balanced. We anticipate that revenues will increase 8.68%, and reoccurring expenditures will increase 12.8%. 18% in fiscal year 2023. Some of the larger non-reoccurring expenditures listed here will be financed with fund reserves. As a result, the general fund operating budget as presented is balanced for fiscal year 2023. This chart displays general fund revenues by category. Total revenues increased 8.68% over last year's budget. A few revenues that I'd like to touch on. Property taxes include the 1.4% increase in the CPI from December 2019 to December 2020. Revenues include the second installment of the 2021 levy, which will be collected in July and August of 2022. And the first installment of the 2022 levy will be collected in February and March of 2023. The first installment is billed at 55% of the prior year's levy. State and non-home rural sales tax revenues are higher than the fiscal year 2022 budgeted amounts, partly due to the passage of the leveling the playing field for Illinois retailers' occupational tax and use tax in early 2021. This law requires many remote sellers to charge state and local ROT instead of use tax. Income tax revenues are based on the Illinois Municipal League's estimates. We just received notice that municipalities will receive a whole whopping 0.1% increase in additional revenues based on the passage of the fiscal 2023 state budget. So that is good news. Building permit revenues are down just over 3% from this year's projections, but future economic development within the community could affect this revenue. The board will be approving a new contract with Lakeshore Recycling this evening that includes no fee increases for solid waste collection services for fiscal year 2023. There are no other fee increases proposed for in the general fund for this fiscal year's budget. Here you can see an overview of the general fund expenditures by category, and we'll get into deeper depth on each of these on the next slides. Personnel services are driven by negotiated contracts with the four bargaining units. Village and the International Union of Operators and Operating Engineers Local 150 contract is valid through April 30th, 2022. Village and the Fraternal Order of Police ratified a contract in September of 2021, which will expire on April 30th, 2023. Both fire union contracts will be executed pending an arbitrator's ruling, which an agreement on wages was agreed upon before arbitration. Budget also includes a 2.5 adjustment for all non-union positions. The fiscal year 2023 budget includes an additional part-time community service officer in the police department and a full-time human resources generalist in the finance department. Moving on to benefits. Benefits are remaining steady. Police pension contributions are expected to increase 1.29% and fire pension contributions 1.18%. Pension contributions are based on the previously approved pension funding policy and recommended actuarial determinations. The village continues to beat industry trends with insurance premiums. We're seeing reductions in HMO and dental benefits and a very modest increase in PPO. So that's very good news also. Now on to contractual services. Contractual services increased 18.78% from fiscal year 2022. Some of the major increases include the 911 contributions, which have gone up over 23% due to communities leaving the center. We also see increases in liability insurance and in consulting. The next slide will go into further detail on those. So in contractual services, we include enhancements to ongoing services, including the senior snow removal, the reinstatement of some annual maintenance programs for streets, and communication services. We also see increases in consulting for several studies, reviews, and services needed for the upcoming year. Included in these services are the evaluation of permit fees, community-wide comprehensive traffic study, zoning ordinance review, the DEI consultant, and the age-friendly consultant. Next is commodities. As you see, commodities are staying fairly even also. We see a decrease due to not purchasing a piece of equipment, but we also see an increase in cannabis tax expenses, which are for crime prevention, and that offset we receive revenues from the state imposed cannabis tax to offset those expenditures. Looking at our three-year projections, the fiscal year 2023 general fund budget is balanced. As previously mentioned, $533,818 is for non-recurring expenditures and are to be funded with reserves. We currently are projecting deficits of $896,348 in fiscal year 2024 and $994,966 in fiscal year 2025. Even with these projected deficits, the general fund balance remains healthy. Now moving on to our individual department budgets in the general fund. We look at the department budgets we have listed here, the past and future accomplishments of each department. These are also included in each department's budget in the big document, so I won't read them all to you here, but I will point out a few key items for each department. So administration first, in fiscal 2022, we saw continued efforts responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. There was collaboration with our community partners. Going forward in fiscal year 2023, we're going to be reviewing the zoning ordinance. We're going to see economic development within the TIF districts and support the mission and goals of all of the village advisory boards. Moving on to police, in fiscal year 2022, police continued to host quarterly safety meetings, enhanced the smart city technology, and also focused on community partnership programs. And in fiscal year 2023, priorities are police officer candidate training, continued smart city technology, evaluate revenues, continue community outreach programs, and public education.
Oh, you got it. Oh, sorry. I'm like, oh. Okay. I'm like, they got up. Apologize. Moving on to fire. The fire department played a vital role in distribution of the COVID-19 vaccine plan and with all the communications to the community throughout the pandemic. And they continue to work throughout the community on numerous public education programs in fiscal year 2020. As we look forward to fiscal year 2023, fire department will be updating the rules and regulations. They also will be working on firefighter candidate training, public outreach programs, training in various areas, and working on code updates. Moving on to public works and development services, in fiscal year 2022, we saw snow and ice response using the new salt brine equipment, which was worked well. As we look, we can tell the permeable paver alley project is nearly halfway completed, with the expectation for the other half to be completed next fiscal year. The automated metering infrastructure project is about complete. And looking to next year, we're going to be looking at the stormwater master plan and changes to the permit fee structure and village zoning board or the zoning ordinances. That is the departments through the general fund. Now we'll move on to water and sewer. This chart displays water and sewer fund activity in fiscal years 2022 and 2023. Water and sewer fund operating revenues are expected to exceed operating expenses 2023. Total expenses are higher because they include capital items. Cash and investments are expected to decline in fiscal year 2023 because of the budgeted capital improvements. Fiscal year 2023 budget assumes average consumption. Here are the list of projects that were part of the capital improvement plan presented back in January. There have been several new programs added to the CIP this year and included in the fiscal year 2023 budget. So some of those are the Lake Street Berm extension, the sewer lateral repair subsidy, and the stormwater master plan, plus other programs that were continuing. Proposed water and sewer rates. The water and sewer rates in the fiscal year 2023 budget include a 6% overall increase to cover higher operating and capital costs. The water rate increase also includes a 16-cent increase to offset the June 1, 2022, 5% increase in the cost of water by the City of Chicago. The city may increase rates on June 1 of each year by either 5% or the increase in the CPI, whichever is lower. To offset increases in the cost of water and in capital costs included in the previous slide, rate increases were necessary. Without the rate increases, the village would not satisfy its policy that requires a minimum fund balance of 25%. This slide shows the estimated future rate increases. These will be reviewed annually to determine if the targeted fund balances meet the recommended required 25% policy. These projects include increases to account for future projects and cover an estimated 2.45% increase in the cost of water by the City of Chicago. Rates will not be increased until actual amounts are known. These three-year projections have been prepared assuming the planned rate increases discussed on the previous slide and average water consumption.
Cash and investments are expected to decrease in 2024 and increase slightly in fiscal year 2025. Now moving on to the pension funds. The police and fire pension fund policies were amended back in fiscal year 2019, and the contributions included in the fiscal year 2023 budget align with those changes to the policies. The funds have an actuarial analysis prepared each year, and future contributions may be adjusted based on the actual results. Village contributes the actuarial determined or the required statutory minimum, whichever is higher. The fire pension fund investments were consolidated in fiscal year 2022 with all other Illinois fire pension funds. The police pension fund investments are expected to be consolidated sometime this year. Through this consolidation of pension investments, the opportunity exists to materially and dramatically improve long-term portfolio performance. On to motor fuel. Motor fuel tax fund is used to fund the street improvements program. $350,000 for road surfacing, $54,766 for snow and ice control expenditures, $50,000 for cracked ceiling, and $90,000 for street patching. Capital Equipment Replacement Fund accounts for future replacements of capital items. SERF is funded by transfers from the General Fund and the Water and Sewer Fund. Annual transfers from the General Fund will be resumed in fiscal year 2023. As presented in January, SERF projects for fiscal year 2023 include the following building improvements, vehicle and equipment purchases. Next on to SIF, the Capital Improvement Fund was created in fiscal year 2014 and is funded by automatic traffic control enforcement system revenue, considered non-recurring for budgetary purposes, grants, and the portion of parking lot fees that are to be included in parking fund reserves. It accounts for various capital improvements, including computer systems, alleys, commuter parking lots, streetscape, and village hall and public works garage improvements. As presented in January, the SIF projects for the fiscal year 2023 budget include the following projects. Everybody see those? Okay. Now looking to the future years of the general fund, as I've mentioned before, the fiscal year 2023 budget includes $533,818 in one-time expenditures in the general fund, including consulting services, payment of the annual liability insurance premium, and salary items. All will be financed using available reserves. Budget is balanced as presented. This slide shows the increase in the pension contributions and what it does to the decrease for the general fund property tax levy for all other purposes. Since 2013, this has decreased by $961,226. As we look at expenditures, expenditures in future years, the village will continue to beat industry trends for health insurance premiums and property casualty and workers' comp. We will continue to budget conservatively and strategically draw down on fund balance for non-recurring expenditures in lieu of revenue enhancements. Maintain nominal salary growth to remain competitive as an employer and evaluate pension contributions. The Village is a service organization striving to achieve the goals set by our Village President and Board of Trustees. With over 93% of the general fund budget allocated for salaries and benefits, 72.6%, and contractual services of 21.15%. The 2022 property tax levy can include up to a 5% increase or the increase in the consumer price index, whichever is less, as permitted per the property tax extension limitation law, PTEL. The increase in the CPI from December 2020 to December 2021 was 7%. So staff will review current fines and charges for services and take a look at, specifically at things, parking fees, ambulance fees, and recommend amendments where and when appropriate. We look into the future. Despite the challenges, the village's finances are in strong position. Departments remain focused on critical items and limiting non-essential spending. Shared and state reported revenues are on a 3-month delay. Staff will evaluate other fee and fine charges for future board discussion. The village will continue to aggressively pursue grant funding for eligible village projects. This concludes staff's presentation. Assembly of the budget and the administration of this document is a team effort and involves the hard work of many members of our team, many of whom you see here tonight. Many thanks to each of them for their good work. Now, any questions? I'm here and open it up to all of you.
I have a few, but I will let the trustees. If there's any questions or comments?
Okay. Rosie, and you've talked about a lot of big numbers. The question I have is a smaller number relatively. You and I traded messages today. I wanted to ask about the money that come into the village coffers from the aggregation. Energy aggregation, and on page 52 of the budget, it says that we should expect 6 monthly payments for this program that are going to go to renewable energy projects. Can you just explain that a little bit more? Like, I thought it was coming in every month. Maybe we're coming to the end of that. I don't know.
So
and how much we're getting every month and what the totality is?
We receive $3,000 a month. So this project or this contract was for 2 years. So in 2021, we received $18,000. 2022, we'll receive $36,000. And then another $18,000 in 2023. $3,000 a month. It is going directly into the general fund aggregate funds. It's not restricted for any particular use. If there is a request or a initiative from the Sustainability Commission or any other committee that has, you know, that would be brought to the board and we would show that this money came in from this program that we could use or apply to that. But there isn't any designation or restriction on these funds coming into the general fund.
I actually thought there was, because it says on the website that the money is going to sustainability projects.
Right, it does support sustainability projects, but you don't have to specifically carve it out and put it into any particular dedicated fund.
And I think we also spent $10,000 of that on the electric vehicle station.
Right.
Right, and included in this year's budget as well is there's another $25,000 for.
Along those lines, though, I think he's bringing up an interesting point. You know, we carve out and make it detailed on all the boards and commissions of the expenditures. But I would submit to you all, why don't we also have a revenue item, which this could be. So instead of it going to the general fund, it can be used for boards.
I think I recall recently when the Sustainability Commission made a presentation one of their projects recently, they asked for an increase in their $5,000. And it's a commission that does programming.
No, they do it a lot.
Yeah.
But, and we'll talk about
typical commission.
We'll talk about that because it seems there's some confusion about the $5,000 and whether it's being used or not. But that's another issue. But I would recommend that we take the, especially the $18,000 and $36,000 and $18,000, seems like a significant amount of revenue that could be allocated to boards and commissions. Boards and commissions went up by a whopping 426.
So again, the board and commission expenditures also come out of that same.
No, no, I know. So I'm just saying this could be allocated to that.
And we keep track. We have another spreadsheet per se for the revenues that come in for that, and keep track of what expenditures for, like the EV station and what we'll use next year, but there isn't a restriction by law.
Yeah,
that's all the clarification.
And then just to clarify what you're saying, Kathy, are you recommending that the money that's coming in for the energy aggregation be put designated for the Sustainability Commission's recommendations and sustainable projects?
First and foremost, yes. But then secondly, if we don't look to just to spend money, but if there are an overflow, like $36,000 came in 2021. I mean, certainly sustainability could have used some of that money, maybe $5,000, and whatever is left over should go toward the other boards and commissions. Possibly. I mean, that's just a thought. It's a revenue source that comes in, and we should identify it as a revenue source.
And it's one of the few things that would get designated as a revenue source. The other commissions, don't have revenue sources.
They don't have some of the things.
If it goes to that, and then from whatever's left over, it funds other things.
But there's money coming into it.
I would just say that I think that the residents who signed up for that were under the impression and were motivated by that money.
I'm all in favor of that too. I mean, because it's a self-sustaining expenditure, which I think is even nicer. Talk about other boards.
So
this
just
is actually giving.
Just one clarification on revenues. Revenues, we don't break them out by department or committee, it's all general fund revenues. We can designate them like we're talking, and that's what we do already, but they're, like I said, for all revenues, we combine them in the general fund.
I guess what the group is saying is that designate them, but unfortunately, this is, so maybe we just make it more.
Sure.
Yeah.
I would like to actually take a step back and say, how do commissions get funded? I, having run the Sustainability Commission, I've asked for a budget for a number of years, was told I could never have a budget. So I think we have to take a step back. And I would say every commission should submit a proposal that is put in front of the board, and we agree on those. I don't think it should just, I mean, that's what I would put on the table anyway.
Well, that's a good point, and that's another issue to discuss.
Right.
I mean, let me just I'll get to that point. I think Lisa and Reza, I know you want to. I mean, if I can just say a few words. I think first of all, thank you for balanced budget. There's a lot of real positive things in this budget, Rosie. So thank you to you and Kiki and Brian and Lisa and Elijah and everybody and the chiefs that made this all possible. You know, it's hard to try to get to this point. So I think our board is very appreciative. So thank you. I mean, if you think about it, you know, our pension, we're increasing our pension payments, which is very good. You know, we're meeting our strategic goals, which are basically customer service second to none, right? By using information technology, by using customer service automation and things that, you know, our customers residents love. So, and then, you know, police and fire, we're obviously funding them, not, you know, by ensuring that we get fully staffed on police and fire. We're also funding the SURF and the SIP, which I think is so important so that our equipment doesn't break down. So there's a lot of good stuff in this budget, and I want to say thank you for that. There are some things that we can work on that I'll just make note of that I don't think is a big issue. It's just something that, and Lisa touched on it a little bit, that maybe can make us a little bit more efficient, more effective, possibly. The one thing we talked about, permit fees, we might look at evaluating upping our permit fees. I think that's probably, yeah, I mean, versus our fines, because that's a negative thing. Permit fees are really positive things because people are building and they are, you know, doing great things for their property. So I like that idea of looking at that revenue. I also want to ask about the property tax bills that, as you know, KGE just announced that they're going to be late next year, right, 6 months. What effect, if any, has that on our budget?
We should still, we'll receive it within the fiscal year.
We will. So you feel comfortable that we'll make up the catch up?
Yeah. Even this year, it's the second installment of them that's going to be the
late.
We probably won't receive those until maybe, what did they say, December? But usually, because it won't be a reassessment year the following year, they should get back on track.
It doesn't seem like
it. Doesn't,
you didn't mention it, so I figured it must not be a big issue, but
no.
I thought I'd mention it. With the, so to meet, to address Lisa's issue, mm-hmm. and probably others,
right.
You know, we talked about a projected deficit, and to me, as I said to Donald, sometimes in government, projected deficits aren't bad because it's expenditures, and if you just always knew what your assessments are going to be, and what your property tax bills will be after, you know, board review, it's that hard. It's unlike a corporation where you know how much that widget is.
Correct.
And how much you get revenue. It's a little bit more scientific as to how much does that widget cost and how much of that widget, how much are we going to get paid for that. So I can understand the projected deficit. But it does bring up an issue, I think, for us to really pay attention on our consulting fees and our contractual services. Is that given the projected deficit, and it's not insignificant, I would, you know, and I think this is where Lisa was going, I would support us now being a little bit more conscious about what we pay in contractual services and specifically in consulting services as it relates to some of our boards and commissions. I mean, we're seeing some revenue, which is great, we could use, but maybe we'd be more conscious about how we spend our those buckets. Not that we wouldn't spend it, it just gives us an opportunity to say, oh boy, this really does fit our goals and strategic village, and therefore this makes sense to pay $50,000 for, let's say, a traffic study. We all know people cut through our town, and we should be able to, you know, find a way to, you know, calm the traffic. And if that study helps us calm the traffic and it costs us $50,000, I'm okay with that. I think that makes complete sense. But it's those things that I think we should be looking at a little bit more simply because of it, you know, deficits get out of hand. And that's my only, and then the other issue, so boards and commissions, I'd like to say, I'd like to look at those expenses before they're actually spent. And then the other one is 911 center. I think that one is, could be a runaway train. And we really need to spend time and energy around how we ensure that the cost doesn't get out of hand. I understand why it is now, but that doesn't mean it can't be bigger.
Absolutely.
So I completely get where we're at. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure. Ryan, you come back with a plan of how we're going to control that.
So I'll speak to that real quickly. So everybody knows, the 911 center that we're part of, it's part of a consortium we're in with Park and Forest Park. There were some other member communities with us at one time. They've joined some other consortiums. The consortium that we are part of and we actually host within our building has been very active looking at what things are as well.
I don't want to repeat what Brian. Bottom line is that we've got a center up here that's been used by five communities. Now it's three communities. Okay. So the cost doesn't go away, right? The cost just gets spread more to the three communities. Mm-hmm. We're taking more calls, which is.
So is the overage or whatever's left on the table, is it divided amongst the three communities
yep.
or will you spare the cost?
Pretty much it.
It's, based, on a, it's
need,
based on call.
Okay.
Yeah, call volume. But you okay. still need the agents. You need the
well, right.
Agents,
I mean,
training,
and we all know.
You need the space.
We all know.
Right.
God bless the staff. I mean, you walk on the first floor of this place and everybody's jammed. All sorts
right.
of extra space. You know, why should our team?
That's a slightly different issue.
I understand.
You're right. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
If I can, I think I read this correctly. That the budget that was passed on Saturday morning is there's really no impact to municipalities on that budget.
Oh no, there was a whopping 0.1% increase.
Come on,
in,
come on. I think we might get $10,000 off.
So okay. I don't know. I think it's closer to $4,000. But yeah, there will be some additional revenues coming to,
yeah,
to us.
Yeah,
we didn't
account for them because
so
we didn't want to be too aggressive.
Here, I guess
it hasn't been signed.
I guess
yet
they
either.
Would tell you they didn't take anything away.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Right.
And then just kind of going on the on your consulting fee. You know, that was a big, you know, that was a big item on mine that I marked. But the other thing is there seemed to be, and I don't know how we do this. I don't want to tell you how to do your job, but there seems to be a lot of research that goes on whether we should or shouldn't do something. And it seems like there should be some type of, you know, maybe there's enough of that work combined with grant writing that we could get a junior member on the team for, mm-hmm. as an analyst. Grant writer, because that seems to be an area where you know, there's a lot of that going on in the world, and I see some of it coming across our desk, but I think there's probably a lot more opportunity. And then again, you know, researching what other towns are charging for water. I don't know that we need to be paying a professional consulting company to do that. I think that's probably something that's in the bailiwick of someone, you know, internally. So you know, that was my biggie, was that consulting fee thing, because I just happened to go through it at work on some stuff too. So it really is resonating with me. And then just one other thing, and again, not to pick on anybody, but there appear to be a number of residents who house their cars in this community, but don't, just because they have Wisconsin tags on them, don't feel like they should be paying for their vehicle stickers. And I know it's small potatoes, but you know, any opportunity, I mean, if it's fair for me to, you know, to pay for it, you know, why shouldn't it be fair for my neighbor who, you know, houses his car in Wisconsin and doesn't pay for it? Just those kind of things are in the small points department, because at some point it's going to come down to where we can increase some of the fees, I think, as we go through the year when you look at the budget. And I will tell you, the $994,966 deficit that I saw was at 37,000 feet on Wednesday morning, and I couldn't wait to get off the plane to call and say, what the heck's going on here? So, but great job on everything, you guys. Again, a great,
yeah.
great product.
I'll add to that narrative on the deficit position. In talking with Rosie and Kiki, we tend to lean very conservatively on both revenue and expense. Being able to pin down those numbers, more conservative side, don't have an, oh my goodness.
Just to address your grant, I mean, just to tell you some of the budget highlights, there is, they provide an increase of $80 million in the Criminal Justice Information Authority, $90 million to fund three state police classes, which is $33 million for a law enforcement camera grant. saw that, and $10 million for a newly created law enforcement officer recruitment pilot program. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, those are probably worth maybe the $33 million might be a little. We get a dollar off them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. But that was in the.
Kathy, Brian, do we have anybody on staff who look for grant opportunities in general for everybody?
We don't have any one person that's specifically dedicated to it. Each department does a very good job of looking to see what the options are that are within their particular group. Jeff as well and I have met with some engineering firms to specifically talk through strategies on when funds become available for the types of roads that we have and also taking a look at how the structures work on how infrastructure for water and sewer funds are becoming available. It's kind of a unique process that they have in place. So we do have everybody all taking a look at it. That being said, the idea of having somebody who has a responsibility to not only identify, but then as well help collect the information for applications might be a good idea. I can tell you with regard to the, I'll use the DCEO grant dollars just as an example, the staff time required to follow through on that does become a little unwieldy, dedicated to that. Yeah.
Just to follow up on that too, have you looked into any websites or services that aggregate grants and you know, just pulling from there?
Yeah, there are some that come through to us. The hard part is that the aggregators like to send you everything and don't really vet it down, so you spend a lot more time actually having to read through it. Where we do get some greater success is actually WCMC and IML. They both have some pretty good
resources for us. Now have a grant finder on the website right now. Look at it. Grant opportunities.
I guess I'd also add that, you know, when we first started the Sustainability Commission, we applied for grants and we were successful in obtaining them. They were just the residents on that commission that took it upon themselves. And so I think we have some commissions, you know, like Age Friendly that has talent on it, that we don't have to wait for staff to do it. And I know I've sent links to opportunities to Sarah for the as well. So, you know, we're all interested in these items, and we've got a lot of talented and active residents who might be interested in helping out.
I second that. I think
that we have to also be realistic on what we can expect from our residents, because I do know the Sustainability Commission right now is suffering from not having the amount of time amongst its members that it used to in the past, which I think, like, you know, again, so we should always advocate for that, but we also have to be respectful of what they can do.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, just so you know that it's at House Bill 3863, Jim. By the sheriff. For dollars.
And the one thing I would also add with grants, it's not only finding the grants and submitting to the grants. I also think it's following through with the requirements of those grants and reporting back.
Yeah. No.
So it is a full circle. Just because you have the money doesn't mean your work ends.
Right.
So just to kind of close that loop. Thanks.
No, the other thing I was going to add is that, at least when it comes to board commissions, I was going to agree with Trustee Gillis about, I think in the past, this board made a decision not to automatically fund, because there was a request or suggestion that we automatically fund each commission and board, and I think we all voted not to do that, meaning automatically. Going back to what Trustee Gillis indicated, that maybe it's a submission to this board to make the determination whether that particular project should be funded for the request. I mean, I know for our age friendly, I didn't even know we had $10,000, but I was planning to come to this board if I needed to fund on the age friendly survey. But it turned out that we were able, our committee was able to really focus in and do the work, and actually we were able to put that survey together without using a consultant. So we have $10,000 that can go back to Robert, even though I didn't know we had it. So,
neighbor.
Okay. But I'm just saying that, you know, so I'm in agreement with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think it's a healthy way to do it. Then it can. Right number, for sure. And Kiki and.
One small question. On page 98, we list as part of like what we get in fees is invoicing, and I'm wondering where do we invoice people? Actually, it's I'm just curious. I wonder who we invoice. You know, and so it says that in 2022 we submitted 142 invoices. So I wasn't sure. Is that like?
No.
Is that charges for ambulance?
I'm going to guess that's more ambulance related.
Whatever accounts receivable we have, it could be
yeah, thank you for the clarification. I was just wondering. And because it's in the budget, page 120, I'm wondering, Chief O'Shea, it lists that we have calls that are high priority. And I wasn't sure could you just describe what high priority calls for 911 would be, or if there's someone better to? We've got in our regular packets, like group A type of calls or violations, group B. Do you have a sense of what high priority calls would be?
There are numerous ones that fall under specific codes within the dispatch center. But when you look at what's considered those type A offenses that you see in the report, those would be considered high priority calls. Also, high priority calls are in progress calls. Might not be criminal events, but they may be service calls that are in progress at the time. They also are going to include accidents, injuries, or anything where an immediate response is required by an officer. Once again, we can get you a full list of what the dispatch says under their code system if you would like. That could be shared with the board. But that would be sort of the general sort of list off the top of my head.
Thank you. And I appreciate that we are under 4 minutes, it looks like one through three, in getting a response time. And I also just want to commend putting in the goals and the objectives. It was very nice to see all the great work that the village had done in the past year by each department and see very clearly what the goals and objectives are.
Zero claims, too. That's a nice one. All right, very good. So any other questions or comments for Brian or the team? Hearing none, then I will close the committee of the whole meeting.
Second.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Phyllis?
Yes.
Jessica?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Faulkner?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll take a 5 minutes.